you're looking for, but my other.
I don't know the official, you got it, yeah. Okay. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Shamini Tinamane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Yavisesa Sanyavadi Paschacha Desatarine. So, I wanted to begin with a meditation on the mercy of Mahaprabhu. And so I've chosen this song. And I want to read the translation first. Okay, yeah, let's read it together. The two lords, Nitai Gaurachandra, are very merciful. They are the essence of all incarnations. That's the significance. Dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. One simply has to chant Hare Krishna, Hari Hari, without any motive. My dear brother, just try and examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Their merciful qualities are so great that upon hearing them, even birds and beasts cry and stones melt. But Lochandas regrets, I am entrapped by sense gratification. Since I have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, then Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me for not allowing me to be attracted by this movement. Hare Krishna. I just want to say a few things to perhaps help us better get into the song. Parama Karuna means supreme mercy. Bahudvijana means the two brothers. Nitai Gaurachandra. Shava Avatar, of all the avatars, Shara Shiramani, they are the supreme. And their process is Kevala Ananda Kunda, simply blissful. So, what do we do? Bajo bajo bai, Chaitanya, just worship Lord Chaitanya. How? Sudzidha Vishwasakori, with faith. And how will you get that mercy? Visaya Charya, Seira Samajiya, Muke Bola Hari, when you give up the desire to enjoy the material world. Visaya Charya, then you can taste rasa. Deko ore bai tribhuvane nai emona dhyala data. Just see, within the three worlds, there's no mercy like this. It's never been given before. Pashu paki jure pashana vidare shure jara guna gata. Even animals were getting the mercy and dancing in ecstasy. What does it speak of humans? Samsara majya rohila poriya sapede pade Nahilo Asha. I'm entrapped in sense gratification. I have no attraction for chanting, and I'm very unfortunate, but Krishna help. So that's the mood. Hare Krishna. You have a Radanga Pata? Oh, yeah. Parama karuna bahudvijana Nitai Gaurachandra. Parama karuna bahudvijana Nitai Gaurachandra. Parama Karuna Bahudvijana Nitai Gorachandra Parama Karuna. Shaviyavatara Sharashiramani Kevala Ananda Kanda. Shaviyavatara Sharashiramani Kevala Ananda Kanda. Baja Baja Vai Chaitanya Nitai Shurida Vishasha Kori. Baja Baja Vai Chaitanya Nidhina Vishansa Kod Nisaya Chariya Sera Samajiya Muke Bolo Hari Hari. Nisaya Muke bolo hari hari. Isaya chariya sera se majiya. Muke bolo hari hari. Isaya sera se majiya. Dekoro Revai Vibhuvane Nai Imona Dayalada Hunta. Dekoro Revai Vibhuvane Nai. Pashu Pashi Jure Vashana Vidare Shuni Jara Bhuna Gata. Pashu Pashi Jure Vashana Vidare Shuni Jara Bhuna Gata. Shamshara Majiya Rohila Puriha Sipadena Hilo Asha. Parina Apara Kurama Unjaya Shama Kohohe Nakana Dasha. Apara Kurama Unjaya Shama Kohohe Nakana Dasha. Parama Karuna Bahudvijana Nitai Gorachandra. Parama Karuna Nitai Gorachandra. Parma Karuna Bahudvijan Nitai Gaurachandra. Nitai Gaurachandra. Shabi Avatara Sharshi Ramani Kevala Ananda Kanda. 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 Parama Karuna Bahudvijan Nitai Gaurachandra. Paramakara Bahudvijan Nitai Gaurachandra. Jai Gopremanandi. Now it's okay. I'm okay. Mukham kuruti vachalam pangulangayate girim jat kripa tamaham bande siguru dinatarinam. By the mercy of Guru, even a dumb man can speak. Mukham karoti vachalam. Pangulangayate girim. Even a lame man can cross mountains. Therefore, I offer my obeisances to my Guru, who is the deliverer of the most fallen. So, the other day I was listening to a lecture by Srila Prabhupada on Gaur Purnim. I forget the date. And he said something which I had questioned maybe my whole time as a devotee. And he said it in a way, in a context, which I think is perfectly appropriate for our meditation today on Mahaprabhu's mercy. Prabhupada said, if you are taking up Krishna consciousness, if you are taking it seriously, it means you are a devotee in your last life. But you didn't finish your business. So in this life, take the mercy of Mahaprabhu and finish your business. Interesting, isn't it? To think that I was a devotee and I basically blew it in my last life. I flunked the class. Is a little different than thinking somehow I've just become a devotee and maybe in some lifetime I'll become Krishna conscious. As opposed to, you were a devotee, you didn't complete it. And Prabhupada, in so many ways and so many times, has asked us to complete it. And it is, I'm going to read some things to explain how it's possible. But first I want to tell a story. There was a devotee, and unfortunately I can't remember who it was, But he said to Prabhupada, he was glorifying Prabhupada and saying, Prabhupada, you're so merciful. And Prabhupada said, yes, maybe that's true, but you have taken the mercy. And I'm giving my mercy to everyone, but you have taken it. Vishnu Janaswami, Prabhupada said that to Vishnu Janaswami. So, in the same way, we know that Mahaprabhu is merciful, and we know he's come to give mercy. And what does that mean? Mercy means that if you presented your resume to Krishna, he would say, nah, sorry. But Krishna, I want to enter Vrindavan. Let me see your resume. He looks at, nah, it's not possible. You're not qualified. And as we read this morning, Prabhupada said, Krishna asked everyone to surrender. And in this very lecture, Prabhupada said, people are saying, who is this Krishna so audacious that he would ask people to surrender to him? That's what the misunderstanding. Why should we surrender? So many excuses. And Mahaprabhu comes and says, all right, we're not going to talk about qualification. We're not going to talk about surrender. We're just going to give mercy. We'll talk about surrender later. You don't need a resume. I don't need to see it. In Kali Yuga, you just come with a desire to get Radha Krishna Prema, to go back to Braj, and we'll let you do it. So how do you do it? Well, you have to put your hands out. You have to grab it. It's there for everyone. And this song explains how do you grab that mercy, Visaya Chariya. When you have no desire to enjoy this world, then you become qualified. Or just somehow or other, the desire, some seed of desire is there to become Krishna conscious. Then Mahaprabhu is like, yes, okay, we're going to give you the mercy. And the mercy comes in the form of what? It comes in the form of the holy name, which is saturated with prema, the prema nam, not an ordinary name, but in Kali Yuga, it's a special name. It's saturated with Mahaprabhu's love. And that's why Prabhupada said so many times, if you take chanting to the holy name, you will be protected from Maya. If you take the chanting of the holy name, someday you will see Krishna. Someday you will get love of Krishna and go back to Godhead even in this lifetime. So, as we know, when Prabhupada came to America, he was questioning, how is this going to work? He was asking that question basically. We could say he was asking that question to himself. I mean, he was asking to Krishna, but really, he was asking himself, how am I going to do this? How will they understand me? And then Prabhupada answered the question that he was asking to himself and to Krishna, but I have faith in your holy name, and I have faith that by this holy name, anybody can achieve prema. So, we are part of that anybody who have no qualification. But Mahaprabhu is not looking at qualification. In fact, the definition of mercy, to understand mercy, you juxtapose mercy to justice, because justice looks for qualification. Okay, show me your resume. Show me your CV. I want to see if you're qualified for the job. That's justice. And if you are qualified, I will give you the job. I'm not going to give the job to someone who's not qualified. That's justice. And mercy doesn't look at qualification. Whoever comes and wants the job, just come and we'll give it to you. That's mercy. So I was thinking, I was having a discussion about this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Sriyo Vaishishtata Shudras, JP Yanti Param Katim. Even a Shudra, even a Vaishya or woman, why? They can become Krishna conscious. Why? Because they were not allowed in Gurukula, so only the Vaishyas, Brahmins, they had the opportunity. So Krishna says, but even you didn't have the opportunity, still you can become Krishna conscious. But he didn't mention the Mlechas and Yavanas. Like, oh, you're Sudra. Yeah, well, Prabhu, you're Yavana, so I'm better than you, you know. Of course, some of you were born as devotees, but those of us who are not born as devotees, we are considered outcasts. So Krishna doesn't mention in the Gita outcasts. He just mentions Shudras, Vaishyas, and Stri, ladies. So now Mahaprabhu comes. Okay, you're an outcast, and we're going to give you mercy. And it's interesting because even Prabhupada's godbrothers, at least some of them, had doubts that outcasts could become Vaishnavas. They questioned that. And when Prabhupada came back to India with his dancing white elephants, some of his godbrothers doubted that they were really Vaishnavas, that Westerners could be Vaishnavas. They would not take the prasadam that we cooked because, you know, we once ate meat and, you know, we're mlechas and so forth. So Prabhupada understood he didn't have that mentality. He knew by the power of the holy name, we will be successful. So Mahaprabhu, he's making love of Krishna available. He's making an understanding of Braja. He's making an understanding of Radha's love for Krishna available to us, which is really inconceivable that we could have any understanding of who Radharani is or any understanding of what is love of Radha and Krishna. But only through the mercy of Mahaprabhu is that possible. And I'm going to read some verses about that in a minute. But first, I wanted to read some of the things that Prabhupada said, which underscores the power of the holy name. And again, Mahaprabhu's love predominantly is coming through the holy name. And so if we take the holy name without offense, if we chant with love, then we fully embody that mercy. And then that mercy can turn anyone into a lover of God. It's possible, all of us. And the story of Jughai and Mudhai is meant to illustrate, if you ever think, I'm too fallen, I've done so many sinful things, how can I become a lover of God? I'm the most fallen. Sometimes we say, you ever say that? Prabhu, I'm the most fallen. Well, not as fallen as Jughai and Mudhai. That's for sure. And Jughai and Mudhai were given mercy by Mahaprabhu, and because they got mercy, what happened? They became elevated, God-intoxicated, mad lovers of God. What to speak of the animals? So the mercy of Mahaprabhu is such that anyone who takes the name with faith, who's willing to make sacrifice of personal desire, personal sense gratification, can get a taste for the holy name, and therefore the holy name can give love. Anybody. Doesn't matter what we've done and how fallen we are. And that's why Mahaprabhu saved Jughai and Mudhai, just so we would not make that excuse that I'm too fallen. I can't get it. It has absolutely nothing to do with our qualification. Mahaprabhu has put the qualification in the holy name. The qualification comes to anyone who takes the holy name. Our only qualification is the eagerness to chant and the effort to chant. That's how it comes. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, offenseless chanting is simply the effort to avoid the offenses. Not even avoiding them, just the effort to avoid them. That's all that's required. Can we make an effort to avoid? Of course we can. If we make the effort to avoid, that's considered offenseless chanting, or at least the clearing stage. And if we chant on that stage, will we get love of God? Well, that's what Shastra says. That's what Prabhupada promised. And if we're not getting love of Krishna, the only question to ask is, am I chanting with offense? Am I attached to material things in a way that it's blocking that ability to want love and to want to take the holy name fully and surrender to it and love it and love to chant and embrace it. So, Hare Krishna. This is from a Srimad Bhagavatam class. And if you just give this one life for serving Krishna, you will go back to Godhead. I guarantee you will go back to Godhead. How could Prabhupada make this guarantee? By the mercy of Mahaprabhu, he could make this guarantee. I don't think any other spiritual master has made this guarantee. They're all like three lives at least. Yeah, but Guru Maharaj, how do I know if I'm in my third life yet? Yeah. I mean, you don't know. But that general idea is it's going to take a few lives. It's not easy. We're not qualified, etc. And Prabhupada is, no, this life. Why this life? Because the holy name is that powerful. If you take the mercy of Mahaprabhu, it's that powerful. And why did Mahaprabhu come? He came to take us all back to Godhead. That's why he came. He didn't come for us to sit around here forever. He came to get us out of here, to awaken us with nectar, with ecstasy, so much ecstasy that we think, whoa, nothing else matters. There's a song like that, nothing really matters, yeah. Nothing really matters. But you want to hear something amazing that can penetrate deep into our hearts about this? Some of you know the story of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the great nectar of Bhagavatam by Sanatana Goswami. And there's two stories going on, Gop Kumar looking for the greatest devotee and Gop Kumar finding his way back to Godhead. And he goes through various planets and he's not settled, he can't settle anywhere, even in Vaikuntha, because he's a coward boy. And he treats Vishnu like a coward boy, and everyone's like, it's like going up to the queen and go, hey, Queenie, what's up, you know? Give me five, you know? And they're all like, you can't do that. So eventually, he makes it to Braj, and that picture of Krishna embracing the coward boy, that's Gop Kumar, he's being embraced. And I think the most beautiful part for me of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is what Krishna says to Gop Kumar. And he says something really heavy, which I think by hearing this can completely attract us to chanting the holy name constantly and detach us from everything else. Would you like to hear what he said? This is a paraphrase. It's so beautiful. Krishna, I mean, he embraced, they both fainted, but anyway, in the conversation, Krishna said, he said, how could you have lived for so long without me? Wow. Meditate on that. Right now, we are living somewhat, to some degree, without Krishna, and we have lived without Krishna. How could you have lived without me for so long? And then I thought, when I heard that, I thought, okay, Kirtaniya Sadhari, Krishna, I can't live without you. I have to live with you. So I will always hear and chant and serve 24/7. That way I can be with you. As I was meditating on this, I was thinking, this is really heavy. And Krishna's saying, I mean, imagine you were there and you know you went back to Godhead and Krishna said that to you. I was like, wow, I don't know. What a fool I was that I thought I could live without you. I thought I could be happy without you. So when I was thinking about this, I was thinking, there's a lot of talk about trauma, but this is the original trauma that we turned our back on Krishna. And that's the origin of all subsequent traumas. And once you turn your back on Krishna, you're trying to replace that relationship with everything in the material world, and it doesn't work. You can't, because through every act of sense gratification, you're just trying to find that relationship you have with Krishna. You're just trying to find love, isn't it? Yeah. So it doesn't work. So we have all these traumatized conditioned souls who are looking for love in sense gratification. And love does not exist in sense gratification. Love does not exist in material things. It exists in our relation with Krishna, our relation with devotees. That's where it exists. And we're looking for it everywhere but in that relationship. And Krishna knows how much we suffered. And he's asking, how could you have lived like that? You're looking for me in everything but me. How can you live like that? Hare Krishna. So when we meditate on this, my next thought was, okay, we are so attracted to sense gratification. We're just like glued to it. It's so hard to become detached. It's deeply rooted, as Bhagavatam says. So how is Mahaprabhu going to pull us, right? He's going to give us a taste of nectar that is so relishable, that is so sweet. It's something we can all become attracted to. He's going to give us the holy name. And by that taste, we're going to be able to give up sense gratification. And by that taste, we're going to want to reconnect with that relation with Krishna and say, Krishna, I want you, I want you, I want you. This is all I want. He's going to help us do that through the nectar of that name. So now, Narottam, Lochandas Thakur, who wrote this song, now he's lamenting. I don't have a taste. I must have been cursed by Yamaraj because it's that taste that Mahaprabhu has come to give and I don't have it. Hare Krishna.
Wow.
But here's the sad news. We don't have it because we commit offenses to devotees, to the deities, to spiritual master, to the Dham. We commit offenses, and that destroys the taste. Prabhupada said, I don't know if you know this, but Prabhupada said, well, there's a story that why we pay obeisances in the morning is because when the new sannyasis in the early 70s would walk down the street, everyone would pay obeisances. Every time they'd come into the temple, out of the temple, obeisances. And it's kind of driving them crazy. So Prabhupada said, okay, what we'll do is we'll offer obeisances in the morning. And that'll be good for the whole day. So then if you see a sannyasi, you're like, I paid obeisances this morning, Maharaj. I'm good, you know. Otherwise, you're supposed to fast if you don't pay obeisances. But what's not known is that Prabhupada said, after you do that, you should say, my dear Vaishnava devotees, please forgive me for any offenses I may have knowingly or unknowingly committed. So devotees are very cautious not to make offenses, knowingly or unknowingly. So every day we ask, please forgive me, like clear it, just so that won't get in the way. We're very cautious about being humble, appreciating devotees, being positive, because this negativity can cause us, or will cause us, or does cause us to make offenses. And when we make offenses, have you ever chanted your rounds and you felt like your bead bag weighed like 14 tons, your tongue weighed 28 tons, and your head weighed, you know, 64 tons? It was like, this is the last thing I want to be doing. You ever felt like that? Yeah, that's what Lochandas is saying. I must be cursed. But actually, we're just cursing ourselves due to our offenses. So I think on Gaur Purnima is it's a great day to rebuild our connection with the holy name, because this is what Mahaprabhu came to give. And so if we are in any way lacking in our taste, in our connection, our desire to chant, this is such a wonderful day to meditate on the Prema Nam, that Prema exists. This name that I'm chanting that sometimes I don't want to chant, within it there's Prema. Within it is everything I desire. Purnamrita Swaranam, the taste that I'm hankering, it's in this name. And if I can just chant it with a little love, as Jiva Goswami says, best way to chant is with love. If I can chant with a little bit of love, then I open my heart, as Prabhupada said, to take the, you're taking the mercy. Mercy's there, you take it. Hare Krishna. So, Prabhupada says, it is our duty to remember always that in comparison to Dhruva Maharaj, we are insignificant. We cannot do anything like what Dhruva Maharaj did for self-realization because we are absolutely incompetent. Whoa. Should I read that again? You probably already feel like that. I don't want to make you feel worse. We are absolutely incompetent to execute such service. But by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we have been given all concessions possible for this age. So at least we should always remember that neglect of our prescribed duties in devotional service will not make us successful in the mission we have undertaken. It is our duty to follow in the footsteps of Dhruva Maharaj, for he was very determined. We should also be determined to finish our duties in executing devotional service in this life. We should not wait for another life to finish our job. So Prabhupada is doing two things. He's begging us to take it seriously, and he's telling us if you do, there won't be another life. That's Mahaprabhu's mercy. Do you know that Prabhupada once said, he said, your determination to chant your rounds and follow the regular principles is the real initiation. That's your initiation. Once you make that determination, you're initiated. And the actual ceremony is just a formality. Well, did you know that? Prabhupada said that. Yeah. So Prabhupada here is asking us, make your determination. You know, every time there's initiation, I think every initiated devotee should sit in that initiation and remake their vows. Because it's that determination which is our real connection with Guru, our real initiation, and it's that determination, Prabhupada's saying, is how you get mercy. And once you get mercy, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how fallen you are, the mercy does everything. It's like an elevator, just get in. Oh, but I'm tired, Prabhu, I can't get to the top floor. Just get in the elevator, just press the button, it doesn't take much energy. It will take you to the top. Just chant the holy name without offense. It will take you to the top. It doesn't matter who you are. Prabhupada once said, if you chant the holy name properly, I guarantee you Maya cannot touch you. It will totally protect you. That's the power of the holy name. And that's the gift that Mahaprabhu is giving. So here's another beautiful quote. This is from Dialectical Spiritualism. All beings are trying to be happy in this material world, but it is nature's plan to give them trouble. In other words, every attempt at happiness will be frustrated so that eventually the living entity will turn to Krishna. This is the plan, to bring the living entity back home, back to Godhead. The plan does not apply to just a few living entities. It is not that some will remain here and others will go back to Godhead. No, the whole plan is that everyone must come back to Godhead. Some living entities are very obstinate, just like bad boys. The father says, come on, but the boy says, no, I'll not go. It is then the father's business to drag him. So, do you really want your spiritual master to have to drag you, kicking and screaming and fighting? I hope not. And I think with the last quote that we read about Dhruva Maharaj's determination, Prabhupada is asking us to make that determination. Again and again and again, he's asking us to make that determination. And he's really saying, once you make that determination, then the mercy gates open up. Then you just... Because Mahaprabhu is looking for those who make that determination. This life I want. I want prema. I want to go back to Godhead. I want to enter Braj. Okay. And Mahaprabhu wants to give them the mercy. You know, do you ever feel like Krishna's like got some like issue with you?
Why did I get the mercy? You know, like I'm trying, you know. I've eaten 1,000 gulab jamuns. I've chanted 10,100 rounds, you know. Been to 1,000,000 artakes and still I'm a wretch. Sometimes you feel like that. And Prabhupada said, Krishna is not your enemy. Don't ever think Krishna's like, Krishna, why are you making it hard? It's not like that. We're making it hard, exactly. Krishna's, he's just ready. You make that determination, everything happens. The sannyasis are given a mantra, and this mantra was chanted by a brahmana from Avanti once he renounced the world and everyone in his family and village turned against him. He said, Aham tarishami daranta paro tamo mukun dangri. I will, aham tarishami daranta, I will cross over the diranta, this endless tamo, this endless ignorance. You can't see the end, and I will cross over it. Whoa. Everyone's looking at him going, whoa, dude, you know, come down to earth, you know. You're a bit arrogant, aren't you? And he said, no. Well, they didn't say it that way, but they said it in some similar way. And he said, no. He said, no. This path has been followed. And people have gone back to Godhead. And all I'm saying is, I will do it because I'll do what they did. Not that I'm proud. Not that I'm obstinate. Oh, I'm going back to Godhead. See you all later. You know, good luck. You know, it wasn't like that. He said, no, I'm following what has been done by the predecessors, by the acharyas and previous devotees. Therefore, I know, I can say, this is my determination. I will conquer the modes of nature because I'm going to follow the same process they're following. That's what Prabhupada wants us to do. Make that determination. Follow this process that will give you perfection, and then you can say, I will cross over the ocean of nations. Not because I'm strong, but because the process is strong, because the holy name is strong. Right? Holy name's the boat. It will take you. Okay. Now I'm going to read something which is amazing. And it's a bit... It seems to contradict so many things we understand, but it's there right in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I wanted us to meditate on it. This is from Anchi Leela 1, verse 32, chapter 1, verse 32. The next day, no one, this is Shivananda Sen's dog. The dog disappeared. He was traveling. The next day, no one saw the dog, for it had obtained its spiritual body and departed for Vaikuntha, the spiritual kingdom. This is one of the most amazing purports, I think, in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's really Hare Krishna. All I can say is Hare Krishna. This is the result of sadhu sangha, consequent association with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and promotion back home, back to Godhead. This result is possible even for a dog by the mercy of the Vaishnava. Therefore, everyone in the human form of life should be induced to associate with devotees. Listen to this. By rendering a little service, even by eating prasadam, what to speak of chanting and dancing, everyone can be promoted to Vaikuntha. It is therefore requested that all our devotees in the ISKCON community become pure Vaishnavas, so that by their mercy, all the people of the world will be transferred to Vaikuntha, even without their knowledge. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Everyone should be given a chance to take prasadam and thus be induced to chant the holy names Hare Krishna and also dance in ecstasy. By these three processes, take prasadam, chant, and dance. So these three things. By these three processes, although performed without knowledge or education, even an animal went back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. I mean, this is just underscoring the potency of the holy name and prasadam. And one devotee asked Prabhupada, he said, Srila Prabhupada, I think it was Amarendra, he's not here, I think it was Amarendra, who asked Prabhupada, like, what's our, you know, strategy? What's our strategy like this, to make the world Krishna conscious? And Prabhupada said, just get them to chant Hare Krishna. That's all you have to do, and everything else will happen from that. Wow. That's pretty easy, right? I mean, it's basically how we all joined, right? Now, we have till 9:45. She said till I stop or till they start setting up. I'm good? The verse before the purport? The next day no one saw that dog, for it had obtained its spiritual body and departed for Vaikuntha, the spiritual kingdom. So he's saying even a dog went back to Godhead by the holy name. What does...
What was the first instruction?
The three things.
The three.
Prasadam, kirtan, and dancing.
And dancing, okay.
Dancing is important. Prabhupada said, through dancing, you experience more ecstasy. So all of us who saw Prabhupada know that he encouraged us to dance by doing this. You see videos, he would do this. And when we danced, he was smiling like anything. So he really encouraged us to dance. And he said, the job of the mridanga player is to inspire people to dance with the beats that you're playing. You can't sit. You have to dance. So dancing is important. So Prabhupada says, not just chanting, but dancing. Hare Krishna.
There's a story that's related to that from Hawaii. When Prabhupada came to Hawaii in the very early days, and he was on the far side of the island, in a little tiny house, there was a park right down from where the house was located. He used to go to the park every morning to chant japa. And there was a young dog that came and followed him. And every morning the dog would join him, run between his legs, run in circles around him. When Srila Prabhupada left the island, the dog disappeared. The owners came to the other devotees and said, have you seen my dog? And they said, nope. He was playing with Prabhupada every morning.
Wow.
He disappeared. He went back home.
Haribo. Here's a really nice quote. It is not a question whether I go or you go, but if anyone takes to Krishna consciousness, he will go back to Godhead. Krishna says, of course, if we are preaching, it is not that we are exporting them by consignment back to Godhead, and we are not going. Prabhupada laughed. It is expected that the preacher is going also. So sometimes Prabhupada would say, well, actually, I'll read what he said. At the end of the lecture, Prabhupada was asked, should we try to cultivate a desire to go back to Godhead? To which he replied, no, you should just work hard to spread this movement all over the world. And so by doing that, automatically, we get Mahaprabhu's mercy and we go back to Godhead. Everyone has that experience. I will end this section with a quote, kind of bring everything together. If you just give this one life for serving Krishna, you will go back to Godhead, I guarantee. You will go back to Godhead. So this question comes up a lot, and I've read different accounts, and I've had devotees tell me their personal accounts of of this, of Prabhupada saying this, and devotees questioning it, doubting it. How is that possible, one lifetime? And every time Prabhupada was questioned, he insisted. And sometimes forcefully insisted, I promise you, I will take you back to Godhead if you do this. So again, this underscores the power of the holy name. It's not our power. We don't have the power. Our resume is not good enough. But when you come with your bogus resume and you say, I'm with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Oh, okay, come in. That's your qualification, right? Oh, you say when you're trying to go back to Godhead, you say, I'm with Prabhupada. Oh, okay. Something like that. So there's a beautiful story. Some of you may know, some of you may not know, but Narada Muni was like in total anxiety about Kali Yuga and how people are going to be saved. All the devotees, they're in anxiety about Kali Yuga because Kali Yuga is so bad. You can read at the time of Mahaprabhu how bad it was. We're thinking, oh, it's 2025, it's so bad. Yeah, that's what they were thinking at Mahaprabhu's time. It's so bad. Nobody's Krishna Bhakta, they're worshiping demigods, this and that, just materially engaged. And the devotees are looking at this and thinking, like, how? How is anybody going to be saved? The heart of the devotee suffers when he sees it. And it was Advaitacharya, who is Mahavishnu, said, I can't do it. I don't have the power. Only Mahaprabhu can do it. So another story, Narada Muni is feeling like, I can't. How is this going to happen? So he goes and visits Krishna in Dwarka, and he goes to visit Krishna when Krishna's visiting with Rukmini in her palace. And Rukmini is really depressed and really unhappy. And so anyone who's married knows when their wife is like not happy, they think, what did I do wrong? I must have blown it. What did I say? Did I do the wrong thing? So Krishna's asking Rukmini, did I do something wrong? Why are you crying? You know, are you feeling like this way? What did I do? And Rukmini said, you cannot understand what I'm feeling. Said, I am feeling that you are here now, but you're going to leave. You're going to leave. And when you leave, I'm going to be overcome with the pain of separation. And you don't know what that pain is because you are you and we're feeling separation from you and you don't know what that is. And he said, if you want to understand what I'm feeling, you have to understand the heart of Radha. And at the same time, Narada Muni's there. It's like, how are you going to save the people in Kali Yuga? So then Krishna said, okay, all right, I will come so that I can experience what Radha is experiencing. And also I will come to save the conditioned souls. So that's one story. Of course, we also know the other stories because Mahaprabhu is seeing what Radha is experiencing and he's overwhelmed by her love and that experience, and he's God, but he can't experience it. And he wants to experience it. Just like when the gopis were with Krishna, and Krishna said, you love me more than I love you, so I can't repay you for your love. Their love is stronger, and that love Krishna doesn't experience because their love's stronger and they're loving him. So he wants to experience that. And the pinnacle of Mahaprabhu's experiencing that love is experiencing separation because that love reaches its pinnacle in separation. So the highest expression is separation. And Mahaprabhu came to feel that separation, especially in his last like 12 years in Jagannath Puri and Gambira, totally to experience it. And he wants to give that to us because that's the highest nectar. He wants to give to us some drop of what Radharani feels in separation from Krishna, that ecstasy. And all we can say is, wow. You can say wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to read some verses about this, which is, I think, extremely interesting. I just have to find it. Yeah. So many verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita about his separation, but I want to discuss how, through Mahaprabhu, we can connect with this mood. There's several verses. Hare Krishna. Oh, hold on. I didn't realize how. It's worth waiting for, believe me. Murphy's Law. Computer doesn't work in the moment you need it to work, right? Okay, give me a second. I have to. If I can't find it, I can still speak about it. Okay. Yes. So, as you may know, when Nitai went out to preach, he didn't preach about Krishna because he thought, I should preach about Lord Chaitanya, because if they connect with Lord Chaitanya, that'll be better than them trying to connect directly with Krishna. What will they gain if they try to directly connect with Krishna? So you know that song? Bhaja Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga, Laha Gauranga, Namare. Chant Gauranga, what is it? Chant Gauranga, hear Gauranga, serve Gauranga. That's what he preached. That was his mood. So the idea that I want to express here is that Mahaprabhu is giving us an opportunity, as I was saying, to understand Radha and Krishna. And it's as if the pathway to Radha and Krishna, you have to walk through the door of Mahaprabhu. And once you walk through that door, then immediately you'll understand Radha and Krishna. Otherwise, who can understand Radha and Krishna? If we have one drop of lust, how could we understand Radha and Krishna? Because their leelas are completely transcendental. How will you understand? You can't. What is the qualification? But if you go through Mahaprabhu, then yes. So here's Prabhananda Saraswati's famous verse. Yata yata gaura padara vinde vindeta bhaktya kata. Well, it's in, you know it? Because it's, can you recite it? Because it's. Bhaktya kata.
Sarpati ridi akasmat radha padambuja sudamburasi.
To the degree that we surrender to Lord Chaitanya's service, To that degree, we gain qualification for the service to Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. To the degree that we surrender to Lord Chaitanya's service, to that degree, we gain qualification for the for service to Radharani's lotus feet. Mm. Mm. Yeah. Same thing. Yeah. Yeah. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in Navadvipa Mahatma that by performing menial service to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, for instance, by spreading his Sankirtan movement, one develops spontaneous bhakti. And Narottam Das Thakur says, Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement is an ocean of nectar, and one who dives deep within that ocean will come out on the shore of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So one sense you could say that Radharani is, we are introduced to Radharani through the worship in the form of Gauranga. Worship Gauranga, and that worship will go to Radha. The service to Gauranga, Radha accepts us. I want to tell one more story, then if there's time, there's questions, just to bring it back to the holy name. Our disqualification. Now we're thrown at the feet of Radha through Mahaprabhu, and that all happens through our qualification to chant. You remember the story, Mahaprabhu once, he was in meditation, he fainted, thinking of the pastimes of Krishna. And the devotees were worried, so they started a kirtan. And that woke him up, and he was really upset. He said, "Why are you making all this noise?" It woke me up. And the acharyas say, we should think our chanting is just a bunch of noise. Our offensive chanting is noise, so we don't want to make noise. We want to make a sound which represents our heart full of love and affection, whatever love and affection we have, and not just the noise of I have to chant, but the love of I love to chant. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you. That was just the appetizer. How can you talk about Lord Chaitanya in an hour? It's like, it's insane. There's so many things he did. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you for this wonderful class.
Yes.
Sometimes in life, we just put into some situations where we have no other choice except of offending the devotees of deities.
No other Prashadu. Choice but offending the devotees.
Yeah.
Well, I never heard that one before. Can you?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm very sure.
Excuse me, Prabhu. I'm going to have to offend you right now, so I'm asking for forgiveness in advance. Something like that, like, I have to offend you. I have to disrespect you for some reason, so please forgive me, something like that. Now, what's your question, how to offend without offending?
I think so.
Sometimes in addressing a superior, a person in a higher position who's maybe made a mistake that you feel the need to point out, is that like what you're saying?
Yeah,
you have to.
And also sometimes like among your friends also, they're devotees, but.
Oh yeah. Well, I can say something. Maybe this will help you. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, he clarified why we criticize or why we make offense. Because a lot of times we think, well, you know, I'm smart, so I see what's wrong. So I just say it like it is, you know. And sometimes that's necessary because a situation may be harmful and we have to say it like it is. But often, like what you're saying, is just sarcasm, basically, right? So Bhaktisiddhanta said, the reason I criticize devotees is because I do not find within my heart one drop of the humility of being lower than a blade of grass. That's the reason. There's no other reason. So we could say, if we take what you said, we're forced by our false ego, we're forced by our pride to make offense, to criticize. Because he's saying, it's the absence of my humility that is the source of my committing of offenses.
And like, besides of criticizing, sometimes when a devotee approaches you for some help, and you know that you can help him, but you just don't want to help.
You can bang your head on the floor and cry, I don't want to help this devotee, what's wrong with me? Yeah. To be able to serve a Vaishnava is the greatest fortune. And it's, we're trying to be das, das, anudas. So, and we're trying to realize Trinadapi Sunichena, offering all respects to others. So if I have the opportunity to serve someone, and what to speak, even serve someone that's hurt you, harmed you, that's even better. Yeah. Serve someone you're envious of, even better. Because to serve someone that, you know, is nice to you, well, that's easy. But how about serving someone who's not nice to you? So what I would suggest to you is I would say that Krishna is giving you an opportunity and you blew it. He gave you an opportunity to do something right that you didn't feel like, to be able to transcend your feeling at that moment and do what's dharmic. Because sometimes, you know, what we feel is not dharmic. And so we have to go with the dharma of it and contain that feeling. Yeah, so you had an opportunity. You blew it, and hopefully not next time. Okay. Anyone else want to say something? Or? Yeah. Premananda Gaura. Premananda Gaura.
Thank you for this wonderful class. I don't have what else to say. But anyway, okay. I was just remembering that the question is, one time Srila Prabhupada was in Canada, my Guru Maharaj told us the pastime, and he says, you have to be 100% to be Krishna consciousness to go back home, to Godhead. And then all the devotees, they went down, you know, and then like the energy of the room was, and Prabhupada felt it, and then Prabhupada says, okay, 90%. And then, you know, all the devotees, they were like, okay, but, and then Prabhupada started walking down the asana, and he says, okay, 80%, something like that. And then the devotees were
still. I think he got down to 70.
Then Srila Prabhupada went to 70%. He said, okay, so the Maha Mantra, because, I mean, we have to desire to be pure. But it's very hard to be pure. So when you understand that you're not pure, but you try, is that effort the one that takes you to the other side?
Yeah. Because you can't be more pure than your greatest effort to be pure. So there's so many places where Prabhupada said, your sincerity is everything. That's what Krishna sees. And how can, if you're sincere and you're trying, that's what Bhaktisiddhanta said. You're trying to avoid the offenses. You know, it's all about intention, right? When the Apichet Siddharacharo in so many verses in 11th canto, it's all about intention. He slips, he falls, but his intention is to be pure. And it is said a man is judged by his ideals. So if your ideal, your intention is to be high, you'll get there. That's what's going to take you. But if you're like, oh, I'm so fallen, what's the use? Why try, you know? Threw away my bead bag yesterday, you know, and all that. Then Krishna's like, okay, you know, what are we going to do with this guy? But if your intention is, I want to be pure, even though I'm not, Krishna says, yes, I'm going to help you. That's our whole philosophy. Krishna will help us. And we never doubt that, no matter how fallen we are. And we have so many stories of devotees. I guess you're ready. Are you ready? Yeah. We have so many stories of devotees in their last weeks of life, just going from 10 to 108 in 3 days, and seeing Krishna Leela, okay, the gopis are calling me, And these are devotees that, nobody thought was any different than any of us. And they're saying, I think I'm ready. The coward boys are here, okay. So we have to have that attitude, that otherwise where the termination will come. And we have to be sincere, and sincerity is everything. And you just try to chant with love, whatever you can manifest as love and devotion, and think Krishna's looking at you thinking, when are you going to come back to Godhead? Because I'm waiting for you. I'm missing you. So what are you doing down here? Some little guy's picking up pieces of straw off the street, It's like, what are you doing? Oh, I come out here and pick up straws, what's wrong with you, Get your act together. So Krishna's saying, when are you going to get your act together and come back to Godhead? What are you doing down here? What's so important, How can you, tolerate it? Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Tai Gopremanande, Hare Hare Bol.